ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome back to the live studios here in Govardhan, ISKCON Bhaktivedanta Ashram. Continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, where we left off yesterday. Text 46, Chitraketu meets the Lord. King Chitraketu meets the Lord, and he's offering his prayers. Text 46. O unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, what every living entity does in this material world, because you are the Supersoul. In the presence of the Son, there is nothing to be revealed by the light of a glowworm. Similarly, because you know everything, in your presence there is nothing for me to make known. Text 47. My dear Lord, you are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this cosmic manifestation, but persons who are too materialistic and who always see separateness do not have eyes with which to see you. They cannot understand your real position, and therefore they conclude that the cosmic manifestation is independent of your opulence. My Lord, you are the Supreme Pure, and you are full in six opulences. Therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Atheistic men think that the cosmic manifestation has come about by chance, a combination of matter, without reference to God. Materialistic so-called chemists and atheistic philosophers always try to avoid even the name of God in relation to the cosmic manifestation. For them, God's creation is impossible to understand because they are too materialistic. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Paramahansa, or the Supreme Pure, whereas those who are sinful, being very much attached to material sense enjoyment and therefore engaging in material activities like asses, are the lowest of men. All their so-called scientific knowledge is null and void because of their atheistic temperament. Thus they cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 48. My dear Lord, it is after you endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra, and the other directors of the cosmic manifestation become occupied with their activities. It is after you perceive the material energy, my Lord, that the senses begin to perceive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead holds all the universes on his heads like seeds of mustard. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, that Supreme Personality, who has thousands of hoods. Text 49. Shukadeva Goswami continued, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadeva, being very much pleased with the prayers offered by Chitraketu, the king of the Vidyadharas, replied to him as follows, O best of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit. Text 50. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadeva, replied as follows, O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have now become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect. Purport. The perfection of life is to be spiritually educated and to understand the existence of the Lord and how he creates, maintains, and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. When one is perfect in knowledge, he can develop love of Godhead through the association of such perfect persons as Narada and Angira, and the methods of their and the members of their disciplic succession. Then one is able to see the unlimited supreme personality of Godhead face to face. Although the Lord is unlimited, by his causeless mercy, he becomes visible to the devotee, who is then able to see him. In our present position of conditioned life, we cannot see or understand the supreme personality of Godhead. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayameva Pudatyadaha. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Shri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. If one takes to spiritual life under the direction of Narada Muni or his representative, and thus engages himself in the service of the Lord, he qualifies himself to see the Lord face to face. The Brahma Sanghita 5:38 states, Premanjita Pujita Bhakti Vilochanena Sandak Sadaiva Ridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shamasundara Machintyan Gunap Surupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shamasundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. One must follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Thus one becomes qualified and later sees the supreme personality of Godhead as evinced by Maharaj Chitraketu.
Text 51. All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the supersoul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna Hare Rama, and I am the supreme absolute truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. Purport: the science of devotional service has been instructed by Narada and Angira to Chitraketu. Now, because of Chitraketu's devotional service, he has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing devotional service, one advances step by step, and when one is on the platform of love of Godhead, Prema Pumarto Mahan, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when one engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, Tesham Satatayukdhanam Vachatam Pritipurvakam, in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master, his devotional service becomes more and more pleasing. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within the core of everyone's heart, speaks to the devotee, Dadami Bhutiyogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. Chitraketu Maharaj was first instructed by his gurus, Angira and Narada, and now, having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. The essence of knowledge is that there are two kinds of vastu, or substances. One is real, and the other, being illusory or temporary, is sometimes called non-factual. One must consider these two kinds of existence. The real tattva, or truth, consists of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:11, Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajganam advayam paramiti paramatmiti bhagavaniti shabdite. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. The absolute truth exists eternally in three features. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan combined are the substance. The categories of emanations from the non-substance are two, activities and forbidden activities, karma and vikarma. Karma refers to the pious life or material activities performed during the day and the mental activities of dreams at night. These are more or less desired activities. Vikarma, however, refers to illusory activities, which are something like the will-o'-the-wisp. These are activities that have no meaning. For example, modern scientists imagine that life can be produced from chemical combinations, and they are very busy trying to prove this in laboratories throughout the world, although no one in history has been able to produce the substance of life from material combinations. Such activities are called vikarma. All material activities are actually illusory, and progress in illusion is simply a waste of time. These illusory activities are called akarya, and one must learn of them from the instructions of the Supreme Personality, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.17. Karmano hyapik bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One must learn of these directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Anantadev. One must learn of these directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, as Anantadev, is instructing King Chitraketu because of the advanced stage of devotional service he achieved by following the instructions of Narada and Angira. Herein it is said, Aham vai sarvabhutani, the Lord is everything, sarvabhutani, including the living entities and the material and physical elements. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7.4-5, Bhumirapu nalo vayu kamano bhutir evacha, ahankara ityame bina prakritir ashtada, aparimitas tunyam prakritim vidime param, Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yayedam Daryate Jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight comprise my separated material energies. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjun, there is a superior energy of mind which consists of the living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The living entity tries to lord it over the material or physical elements, but both the physical elements and the spiritual spark are energies emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham vai sarvabhutani, I am everything. Just as heat and light emanate from fire, these two energies, the physical elements and the living entities, emanate from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham vai sarvabhutani, I expand the physical and spiritual categories. Again, the Lord, as the Supersoul, guides the living entities who are conditioned by the physical atmosphere. Therefore, called Bhutatma, Bhutabhavanaha. He gives the living entity the intelligence with which to improve his position so that he may return back home, back to Godhead. Or, if he does not want to go back to Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence with which to improve his material position. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Sarvasya Chaham Radhisani Vishto Mataksmitir Gyan Abho Anam Cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. From within, the Lord gives the living being, the intelligence with which to work. Therefore, the previous verse said that after the Supreme Personality of Godhead endeavors, our endeavors begin. We cannot independently endeavor or act upon anything. Therefore, the Lord is Bhutabhavanaha. Another specific feature of the knowledge given in this verse is that Shabda Brahma is also a form of the Supreme Lord. In his eternal blissful form, Lord Krishna is accepted by Arjuna as Param Brahma. A living entity in the conditioned stage accepts something illusory as substantial. This is called Maya or Avidya, ignorance. Therefore, according to the Vedic knowledge, one must become a devotee, and one must then distinguish between avidya and vidya, which are elaborately explained in the Ishopanishad. When one is actually on the platform of vidya, He can personally understand the personality of Godhead in his forms like those of Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, and Sankara. Described as the breathing of the Supreme Lord, and activities begin on the basis of Vedic knowledge. Therefore, the Lord says that when he endeavors or breathes, the material universes come into existence and various activities gradually develop. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranavaksarvavedeshu, I am the syllable Om in all the Vedic mantras. Vedic knowledge begins with the vibration of the transcendental sound, Pranava Omkar. The same transcendental sound is Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Abhina Dvan Nama Namino. There's no difference between the holy name and the Lord himself, of the Lord and the Lord himself. He goes, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chitanya Rasa Vigra Purnashuram Nitya Mukto Bhinavam. Now, however, you notice the last line is has an apostrophe, doesn't it? A Bhinat Bham. So you don't actually pronounce the A. It's already on the, there's a vowel on the end of the last. Yeah, I know it's a Bhinat Bham, but it's got an apostrophe, right? Isn't it? Nama Chintamani. Yeah, it's a Sandhi, but it, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudho Nitya Mukto Bhinatvam Nama Namino. You don't say a Bhinatvam because there's an O already there, and it's by Sandhi rules. It's just in one line though, one there. I'm just saying when you say the verse, Shami Pras, look it up. The verse book's right there. No, it's not clear because people keep writing me from South India saying you're saying the verse wrong. Twice. And my point is that it's there's an apostrophe. Bina, okay, so Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudho Nitya Mukto Bhinatvam Nama Namino, because the O is there. The O is there, apostrophe. Bhinatvam, O Bhinatvam. Because of Sunday rules. Let's hear from Shamya Prash. The logic in the last line of the last line, starting with this third line down.
Well, in Sanskrit, if you have in this case, it's Nitya Muktaha is the original word, and then if you have that flowing into another word that begins with a vowel, aha becomes o. And the vowel on the next word is dropped. It's a Sandhi rule to allow it to flow nicely. So what would be Purnaha Shuddho Nitya Muktaha Apinatva Nama Naminoho becomes, if you actually put it into a verse and pronounce it together, Purnaha Shuddho Nitya Mukto Apinatva Nama Naminoho. That's technically what's, otherwise it doesn't flow.
I rest my case. Yes, sir. Okay. He asked Matsyavatari, didn't say he was coming. Okay. Abhinatvam nama nami no. Otherwise, if it's in the context of the sentence, then it's nityamukto abhinatvam nama nami no. There's no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. Just going on the record. Because it's not going to the next one, so Sandhi doesn't apply. 52. In this world of matter, which the conditioned soul accepts as consisting of enjoyable resources, the conditioned soul expands, thinking that he is the enjoyer of the material world. Similarly, the material world expands in the living entity as a source of enjoyment. In this way, they both expand, but because they are my energies, they are both pervaded by me. As the Supreme Lord, I am the cause of these effects, and one should know that both of them rest in me. Purport, the Mayavada philosophy sees everything as being equal in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Supreme Brahman, and therefore sees everything as worshipable. This dangerous theory of the Mayavada school has turned people in general towards atheism. On the strength of this theory, one thinks that he is God, but this is not a fact. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina, the fact is that the entire cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the Supreme Lord's energies, which are manifested in the physical elements and the living entities. The living entities wrongly consider the physical elements to be resources meant for their enjoyment, and they think themselves to be the enjoyers. However, neither of them is independent. They are both energies of the Lord. The original cause for the material energy and spiritual energy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although the expansion of the Lord's energies is the original cause, one should not think that the Lord himself has expanded in different ways. To condemn the theories of the Mayavadis, the Lord clearly says in Bhagavad Gita, Vastani sarvabhutani nachaham teshavastita. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Everything rests upon him, and everything is but an expansion of his energies. But this does not mean that everything is as worshipable as the Lord himself. The material expansion is temporary, but the Lord is not temporary. The living entities are parts of the Lord, but they are not the Lord himself. The living entities in this material world are not inconceivable, but the Lord is. The theory that the Lord's energies, being expansions of the Lord, are as good as the Lord, is mistaken. When a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and sees himself, in himself, many other objects, such as great mountains and rivers, and perhaps even the entire universe, although they are far away. Sometimes when one awakens from a dream, he sees that he is in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions, as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. Purport. None of these conditions of the living entities, namely deep sleep, dream, wakefulness, is substantial. They are simply displayed phases of conditional life. There may be many mountains, rivers, trees, bees, tigers, and snakes that are situated far away, but in a dream one may imagine them to be nearby. Similarly, as one has subtle dreams at night, when the living entity is awake, he lives in gross dreams of nation, community, society, possessions, skyscrapers, bank balance, position, and honor. Under the circumstances, one should know that his position is due to his contact with the material world. One is situated in different positions in various forms of life that are all but creations of the illusory energy, which works under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate actor, and the conditioned living entity should simply remember this original actor, Sri Krishna. As living entities, we are being carried away by the waves of prakriti, or nature, under the Lord's direction. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate racharam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Iche maya arboshe jacho beshe kacho habudubu bai. Why are you being carried away by the waves of the illusory energy in various phases of dreaming and wakefulness? These are all creations of Maya. Our only duty is to remember the supreme director of this illusory energy, Krishna. For us to do this, the Shastra advises us, Harinama, Harinama, Hariname Vakevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gati Anyata. One should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. The Supreme Lord is realized in three different phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But Bhagavan is the ultimate realization. One who realizes Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is the most perfect Mahatma, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. In the human form of life, one should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for then one will understand everything else. Yasmid vignate sarvam evam vignatam bhavati. According to this Vedic injunction, simply by understanding Krishna, one understands Brahman, Paramatma, Prakriti, the illusory energy, the spiritual energy, and everything else. Everything will be revealed. Prakriti, the material nature, is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord, and we living entities are being carried away by various phases of Prakriti. For self-realization, one should always remember Krishna, as stated in Padma Purana, Smartavyasa Tatam Vishnu. We should always remember Lord Vishnu, Vismartavyo Najatu Chit. We should never forget the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Ark. A-R-K. Always remember Krishna. Ark. Say. A couple times. Ark, ark. Know me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading Supersoul through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of the material senses. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of the sleeping living being. Purport, when the living entity becomes free from false ego, he understands his superior position as a spirit soul, part and parcel of the pleasure potency of the Lord. Part and parcel of the pleasure potency of the Lord. You can put that on your business card. Or on your immigration document, occupation. Part and parcel of the pleasure potency of the Lord. That's just what I do. Disembarkation card. Know me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading Supersoul, through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of the material senses. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of the sleeping living being. When the living entity becomes free from false ego, he understands his superior position as a spirit soul, part and parcel of the pleasure potency of the Lord. Thus, due to Brahman, even while sleeping, the living entity can enjoy. The Lord says that Brahman, that Paramatma, and that Bhagavan are I myself. This is noted by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha.
In the Tapa Sandarbha.
Without any dream, therefore he was still existing at that time. And also the Shvetashvatara Upanishad says that all the different neural pathways merge into one at the time when one's in the deep sleep. And then the living entity has proximity to the Supersoul. And that's why he comes out refreshed.
I had such a nice sleep.
And then I told that after I read it there in classes, and everyone said, I should sleep more then. I'll become more advanced. Better darshan.
When I was in Italy, there was one Chinese traveler traveling around, and he came to the temple. And he came, and he heard a class. And in the class, he heard that when we sleep, we assimilate knowledge. So then the next day, he was in the bed the whole day, you know. I said, why did you do that? He said, I wanted to assimilate what I heard, so I just slept. The ballad of the Chinese, what? Text 56, is that right? If one dreams during sleep, if one's dreams during sleep are merely subject matters witnessed by the Supersoul, how can the living entity, who is different from the Supersoul, remember the activities of dreams? The experiences of one person cannot be understood by another. Therefore, the knower of the facts, the living entity, who inquires into the incidents manifested in dreams and wakefulness, is different from the circumstantial activities. That knowing factor is Brahman. In other words, the quality of knowing belongs to the living entities and to the Supersoul. That knowing factor is Brahman. In other words, the quality of knowing belongs to the living entities and to the Supreme Soul. Thus, the living entity can also experience the activities of dreams and wakefulness. And we can't even dream without Krishna. In both stages, the knower is unchanged, but is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman. Purport. In knowledge, the living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman, but the quantity of the Supreme Brahman is not the same as that of the living entity, who is part of Brahman. Because the living entity is Brahman in quality, he can remember the past activities of dreams and also know the present activities of wakefulness. 57. When a living entity, thinking himself different from me, forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness with me in eternity, knowledge, and bliss, his material, conditional life begins. In other words, instead of identifying his interest with mine, he becomes interested in his bodily expansions, like his wife, children, and material possessions. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one body comes from another, and after one death, another death takes place. Purport. Generally, the Mayavadi philosophers, or persons influenced by Mayavadi philosophers, think themselves as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the cause of their conditional life. As stated by the Vaishnava poet Jagadananda Pandit in his Prema Vivarta, Krishna Bahumukha Haya Boka Bancha Kore Nikatasta Maya Tari Japitiya Dhare. As soon as a living entity forgets his constitutional position and endeavors to become one with the Supreme, his conditional life begins. The conception that the Supreme Brahman and the living entity are equal, not only in quality but also in quantity, is the cause of conditional life. If one forgets the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entity, his conditional life begins. Conditional life means giving up one body to accept another, and undergoing death to accept death again. The Mayavadi philosopher teaches the philosophy of Tat Tvam Asi, saying, "You are the supreme. You are the same as God." He forgets that Tat Tvam Asi applies in terms of the marginal position of the living entity, who is like sunshine. There is heat and light in the sun, and there is heat and light in the sunshine, and thus they are qualitatively one. But one should not forget that the sunshine rests on the sun. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi pratishtaham, I am the original source of Brahman. The sunshine is important because of the presence of the sun globe. It is not that the sun globe is important because of the all-pervasiveness of the sunshine. Forgetfulness and misunderstanding of this fact is called Maya. Because of forgetfulness of one's constitutional position and that of the Supreme Lord, one comes into Maya, or Sangsara, conditional life. In this regard, Madhvacharya says, Sarva bhinam paratmanam vismaram sangsaret iha abhinam sangsmaram yati tamo nastyatra sangshayaha. When one thinks that the living entity is non-different in all respects from the Supreme Lord, there is no doubt that he is in ignorance, tamaha. Text 58. A human being can attain perfection in life by self-realization through the Vedic literature and its practical application. This is possible especially for a human being born in India, the land of piety. A man who obtains birth in such a convenient position but does not understand his self is unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he is exalted to life, even if he is exalted to life in the higher planetary systems. Purport. This statement is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 9:41. Lord Chaitanya said, Bharata bhumite hoila manushya janma jar janma sartaka kari karapara upakar. Everyone born in India, especially as a human being, can achieve the supreme success through the Vedic literature and its practical application in life. When one is perfect, he can render a service for the self-realization of the entire human society. This is the best way to perform humanitarian work. Text 59. Remembering the great trouble found in the field of activities performed for fruitive results, and remembering how one receives the reverse of the results one desires, whether from material actions or from the fruitive activities recommended in the Vedic literatures, an intelligent man should cease from the desire for fruitive actions, for by such endeavors one cannot achieve the ultimate goal of life. On the other hand, if one acts without desires for fruitive results, in other words, if one engages in devotional activities, he can achieve the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. Considering this, one should cease from material desires. Text 60. A husband and wife, as husband and wife, a man and woman plan together to attain happiness and decrease unhappiness, working jointly in many ways. But because their activities are full of desires, these activities are never a source of happiness, and they never diminish distress. On the contrary, they are a cause of great unhappiness.
That's the verse we work into wedding ceremonies. Please repeat after me. Sukhaya dukkhamokshaya. Text 61 through 62. One should understand that the activities of persons who are proud of their material experience bring only results contradictory to those such persons conceive while awake, sleeping, and deeply sleeping. One should further understand that the spirit soul, although very difficult for the materialist to perceive, is above all these conditions, and by the strength of one's discrimination, one should give up the desire for fruitive results in the present life and in the next. Thus, becoming experienced in transcendental knowledge, one should become my devotee.
Isn't it the
very interesting how the words of the Lord directly are so much more profound than any other words.
Yes. Persons who try to reach the ultimate goal of life must expertly observe the Supreme Absolute Person and the living entity who are one in quality in their relationship as part and whole. This is the ultimate understanding of life. There is no better truth than this. O King, if you accept this conclusion of mine, being unattached to material enjoyment, adhering to me with great faith, and thus becoming proficient and fully aware of knowledge and its practical application in life, you will achieve the highest perfection by attaining me. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, after thus instructing Chitraketu and assuring him of perfection in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Supreme Soul, Sankarsana, disappeared from that place as Chitraketu looked on. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Supreme Lord. Bravo. Bravissimo. Sadhu, sadhu. take a couple of reflections. Keshav Bharti Das Goswami Maharaj, let's put you up first. Here's your mic.
This verse, spoken by the Lord Himself, really struck me, because you get this question practically everywhere you go when you're counseling people, after we give a class: how do I give up material desires? And here it is. I want to repeat it again. 59. Remembering the great trouble found in the field of activities performed for fruitive results, and remembering how one receives the reverse of the results one desires, whether from material actions or from the fruitive activities recommended in the Vedic literatures, an intelligent man should cease from the desire for fruitive actions, for by such endeavors one cannot achieve the ultimate goal of life. On the other hand, if one acts without desires for fruitive results, in other words, if one engages in devotional activities, he can achieve the highest goal of life, freedom from miserable conditions. Considering this, one should cease from material desires. So whenever anybody asks that question, just bring out this verse and say, this is what the Lord says about that. And the other point that struck me was how he keeps repeating the application. Did you notice that he repeated application of this knowledge maybe 3 or 4 times?
Okay. Now Vaikuntha Nayaka.
Verse 46, I like this point that in the presence of the sun there is nothing to be revealed by the light of a glowworm.
And why did you like that?
Actually, in my discussions with people, I oftentimes, fortunately or unfortunately, meet with people who are very puffed up, who think that they know everything. So it helps here to know that even the best scientists in the world, Stephen Hawking recently actually, there was this conclusion that the universe is the ultimate free lunch. That's what he said. So it is reassuring to know that actually they are just glowworms.
Glowworms, yes. I met a man. Yes.
Question I had on 55.
Yes.
Where it says that the Lord is the cause of the activities of the living entity.
Yeah, because the living entity is susceptible to the changes of the modes of material nature. So the living entity desires in a certain way, and the Lord arranges the external energy in such a way that he can enjoy or suffer according to his desires. Is that what you mean?
Yes, but ultimately, does that not take away the responsibility from the living entity? Because living entity is responsible, right? He chooses what to associate with.
Ultimately, the living entity is considered to be an agent, because as Srila Vyasadeva says in the Vedanta Sutra, if he wasn't an agent, there wouldn't be so much Shastra, because Shastra is speaking to the living entity, and it would be illogical to present instructions to somebody who couldn't act upon them. So in that way, he proves logically that the living entity is an agent for change, and he can change at any time by changing his desire. Who had their hand up? Yes. Gopal.
I like two slokas. One was, I think, from the previous chapter where it describes how the devotees like to massage the lotus feet of the Lord.
Yes.
With the hands like flower buds.
Keep that under your mouth.
And then there's this one from 58. I have a little question about the last sentence. I'll read the whole text. A human being can attain perfection in life by self-realization through the Vedic literature and its practical application. This is possible especially for human beings born in India, the land of piety. A man who attains birth in such a convenient position but does not understand his self is unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he's elevated to life in the higher planetary systems. A lot of people born in India only aspire for that, even though they have this pious birth. And as we hear Srila Prabhupada again repeating, those that are born in Bharatabhumi should share this knowledge with others outside. How do we get devotees of this community's background to really connect with their true dharma?
Let's ask Vaikuntha Nayaka Prabhu. See.
So, Prabhu, your question was how do people born in Indians get connected back to
how can
to
they take advantage of their full potential? They're given the greatest opportunity being born in Bharat, but maybe they're not taking advantage of it. So Gopal Prabhu would like to know how we can help Indians take advantage of their full potential to achieve the highest goal of life. What do you do? Book distribution, okay. Any other thoughts from those born in Bharat? There you go. Go ahead, Gopal.
By giving this knowledge, you know, especially preaching.
Okay, preaching. Anything else, Madhav Govinda?
By systematically training them in understanding the books and...
What if they don't want to be trained?
Systematically presenting in a way that is appealing to them. Obviously, there won't be everyone who would be interested all the time, but there will be some people who are always right.
Ramananda Sakha, any comment? Ramananda Sakha is taken to the to his full potential. What's the secret?
So I took, I'll just give my own example. I took to its full potential, whatever you say, by seeing how Westerners wholeheartedly are embracing the Krishna consciousness. So that's what Prabhupada used to say to, you know, when he tried to preach in India before he came to West, he was not that successful. So he came to the West and he preached, he trained the Westerners. And then when Westerners went to India and preached to, when Indians are Westerners, because they follow the what Westerners do, they also embraced Krishna consciousness.
And when did you first notice that? I mean, was there an epiphany? Or was there a time when you saw a Westerner performing devotional service and you said, aha, I should be doing better? Something like that? Was there an incident or a series of incidents that convinced you?
I was not into Krishna consciousness when I was in India. I came to U.S. For my job. That's where I came to know about Krishna consciousness. I was not introduced to ISKCON when I was in India because there is no ISKCON center there. So I had to admit that. After I came to US, I came to know Krishna consciousness. First, you know, I got a book in an airport. You know, at that time, from San Francisco airport, and at that time, Guru Maharaj and Bhanubhata Prabhu, those are the only two persons who are distributing books in SFO, San Francisco airport. So I assume I got book from either Guru Maharaj or Bhanubhata Prabhu, one of them. And I remember, you know, I paid $20 at that time, it's many, many years
Thank
ago.
You
I still
much.
Remember that. But even after that also, I didn't, although I was reading Bhagavad Gita book on and off, I still fully did not embrace it. But later on, because I have this interest, spiritual interest, and I'm looking for something, I just happened to purchase all Srila Prabhupada's audios as well as videos from somewhere on the internet at that time. And after watching all those, then I became a serious practitioner of Krishna consciousness. So in the movies, in the videos, I saw a lot of Westerners fully embracing Krishna consciousness. So that could have affected me.
And that affected you, huh?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. That was nice. Thank you very much. Hey, sadhu, sadhu. Gopal. Gopal wants another shot at it.
I've been with Navina Prabhu and our Prabhu here and many others in Rishikesh distributing books, Harinam Sankirtan. It seems more difficult and challenging in India as opposed to Indian communities outside of India, because Indian communities outside of India will naturally feel like completely alienated by Western culture, or they accept Western culture and become Westernized and then still feel alienated because it's not natural to them. So within India, it seems then like we should have a lot more dancing white elephant kind of preaching programs to some extent.
We can do.
And make my application to the Bureau, okay. But then still, to get Indian people to surrender, to give up devata worship, aspiring to go to Swarga, etc., it seems like a really difficult thing, a super challenge. And already there's a lot of Christian missionaries in India. They've converted the whole of the south, the far eastern parts of India. They're working on Orissa, South India. And it seems like if we focused our efforts as ISKCON conservatively, we could really take a whole state of India.
You know, we were just reading the other day, Prabhupada was talking about the importance of the quality of the philosophy or the practice that people take to. So many of these so-called conversions are very superficial. They really don't know what they're doing. I mean, the philosophy itself may be very superficial, what to speak of the way they induce people to take to it. And Manushanam Sahasrishu, it's a little more rare that people would take to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada always said, because of the demands that we're making. It's a little more for serious people. But it is the preoccupation of the devotee to tax his or her brain to figure out ways in which to catch people. And, you know, that's what preachers do constantly. They're always trying to think how to adjust things so that they can accommodate the psychophysiological nature of people, so that they'll be able to ingest the process, the teachings of Krishna consciousness, and imbibe them, and then take it up. So much of it has to do with personal association. Smaller groups where people can come in and get socialized and develop faith in others makes like a huge difference. 1, 2, 3.
Already it's like most of the village preaching is happening, you know, in Maharashtra, you know, yeah. Which is affecting, you know, most of the villages are getting affected, you know, many villages are like, you know.
Getting affected by what?
About Krishna consciousness. Devotees are going
because
and preaching.
They're systematically teaching.
Yeah, systematically
that.
Preaching. And, you know, this is affecting so much actually. As, you know, conversion we're telling. But here they are taking very nicely, and the complete village is actually accepting it.
The Radhisham Prabhu's program in Pune is evidence of the importance of systemization of the preaching. Because from what I hear, in his college programs, as an example, they have it down to a science. So they have like 7 presentations they give to the students, one after another.
Device.
And if a person comes back at least 3 times, then they know they've got them, because they're smart enough to realize that if I go one more time, it's going to remove all my doubts, and then I'm going to have to surrender. So if they actually have any sincerity and they want to wake up, they'll keep coming. And that systematic approach, both in the villages and in the universities, intelligent devotees who figure out how to make a systematic presentation are harvesting thousands of sincere people. Look at Pune. That's a huge temple room. It's packed every morning for Mangalartik with people who are full-on practicing Krishna consciousness. And we see it in the West also. For instance, we do the Atma courses, the Discover Yourself. And when people take those, after they're done, they go through all the basics. That's just about how the logic of us being the subordinates to God and how the world has intelligence behind it and so forth. And after they take that, their faith has some foundation, you know, to come to Krishna consciousness. So it's important for us to close the gaps. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Actually, Maharaj has started, Radhanath Maharaj has started this Ganga Yamuna Prayag project, in which a lot of villages get connected. And Radhisham Pro is doing school preaching also, like, you know, we have book distribution in schools. We are giving these values when they are children, you know, having them exams on Bhagavad Gita, you know, repeatedly. And then this college preaching, what is there happening. Corporate preaching started new thing recently. So all these are initiatives what we have taken to preach to Indian.
Okay, there's 2 more and then we're going to take a break. 1, 2.
In the Middle East, there is a lot of people becoming devotees, like by thousands. And what I found is that they have their material side of life is sorted. And Prabhupada says in the books that
you know, they are a lot more, it's very easy for them to accept Krishna consciousness. Everything is favorable. So one thing that they do is they have this shloka competition, or they teach shlokas to children, to non-devotees, you know. It's all by word of mouth. So people come and they, you know, they come for learning shlokas. And then after a few months, the parents begin to become more and more interested on the pleasure of the children. And like this, like make hundreds of devotees. So it's one project.
Patri, last word.
Few realization after actually being in India and practicing and observing the mentality of Indian people, I very much agree with Prabhuji. He said that when Western people actually becoming more serious and extending their care and kind of also sacrifice, because nowadays people, they don't care how much you know, they want to know how much you care. Personal association and giving them personal care and attention for a long time, dirghakali. So people become serious then when they get association, and then other techniques, children and other techniques are coming later. But first we have to touch the heart of people and to be available, because I've seen many people, as they say, they're coming, giving lecture and going. And nowadays people, you cannot impress, now it's Google society. You can Google any information you want, but availability and to be there for people, here and there, accessible, and to be with them when they need you. And nowadays people are so frustrated, and because Christians also, I'm observing different religion, how they're accessing society here in India, in other Bangladesh, Nepal, because they're available, especially like earthquakes, whatever, something happens, they're just there for them. Hospitals and personal care and taking for, and then they're mixing their philosophy, and usually Indian people, they can see, well, it's working. Compassion, tolerance, it's there. And that's what they can see in picture, when you have to be tolerant and giving care and merciful, whatever you can call it, if you're with them, and they can observe you. Because Indians, they're usually from Brahminical backgrounds, they know everything about puja, about the shastra, but they need to see walking examples. So we need more walking examples.
Thank you. And that brings us to the Gayatri break. We'll be back here at 20 minutes after. Go Premanande Haribo.
Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman. Hey, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman.